Welcome to the Dr. April Jasper Show, relevant conversations for business owners of today.
If you suffer from dry, scratchy, irritated eyes, the problem may actually stem from your eyelids. Cleansing eyelids daily is essential for maintaining healthy eyes, which is why doctors recommend OcuSoft Lid Scrub Allergy Eyelid Cleanser. New OcuSoft Lid Scrub Allergy removes oil, pollen, and other contaminants from your eyelids to effectively reduce redness, irritation, and itching caused by seasonal allergies. These pre-moistened wipes are easy to use, on the go, or at home. Simply wipe and leave on. As the industry standard of care, OcuSoft has a full line of eyelid cleansers for various conditions. Available through eye care professionals, most retail outlets, and Amazon.com. Visit OcuSoft.com for more details.
Welcome, everyone. I'm here with my good friend, Dr. Katie Speer. And Katie, I think what's amazing about the time we have together today is that we are about to launch a new podcast.
Yes.
And I say we, but it's really all her. And this is all about health law. And I have to emphasize on the side of the providers. And I say it my way. Katie will say it the more official way. But as many of you know, or maybe you don't know, Katie is an optometrist, just like us and many of you who are listening, but she's also an attorney. So Katie, tell us a little bit about your beginning. And did I say that all wrong? Because if I did, tell everybody.
No, you said it perfect.
Okay, good.
My podcast is a health law podcast focused on the providers.
There
so
you go.
What do providers need to know to keep themselves compliant and lessen the liability?
Got it. Okay. See, I told you she'd say it better. So here we are today to talk about that great new moment when they will have access to all the upcoming episodes. Mm-hmm. The whole idea is, and I love this, I have to say part of it's my idea. So I'm going to take credit for some of that.
It is your idea. 100%.
But it's because I don't know for sure what I'm doing all the time as far as am I being compliant with all the legal changes? Because there's so many changes mm-hmm. that take place. Mm-hmm. So even though you're going to help me as an optometrist, this is actually going to be helpful for anyone in medical,
Correct.
The medical field,
Any
right?
Any medical provider, whether you own your own practice or your associate doctor, physician, podiatrist, chiropractor, anybody, any medical provider, that this would be relevant.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So by the way, don't forget to make sure you're staying engaged with us on the podcast. So subscribe, follow our channel so that we make sure that you are notified every time there's a new episode that comes out. All right. So let's get down to business. Katie, they need to know what the inspiration has been behind all this. So let's start with optometry school. Tell us how you even became an optometrist. And is that what you did first? Maybe it was public health. I don't know. Tell me.
So I did public health first. I went to Auburn for undergrad, War Eagle. I majored in biomedical science.
She had to get that in there, by the way.
I had to get it in. I'm going to get it in, right? I majored in biomedical science with the intent to become a physician. I wanted to become a doctor when I was 4 years old, and I never deviated. That
wow.
was what I wanted to do. Until my junior year in college, I had this, I don't know what happened. It wasn't midlife, so it can't be a midlife crisis, but maybe a 20-year-old crisis. I don't know. Where I said, I went to my counselor at Auburn, and I said, I don't want to be a physician anymore. I don't know what I want to do, but I don't want to be on call or work in a hospital.
Right.
And he thought, that's crazy because you've done all this work. I mean, literally, we were applying yeah. to med school. And
all your friends were going to med school.
All my friends were going to med school or dental school. And I said, he said, well, do you want to do dental school? And I said, absolutely not. And then he actually asked, he said, do you want to do optometry? And I said, that sounds really boring. That is exactly what I said, because I really had no idea what optometrists did.
A dark room.
Right. I just thought that the eyes would be boring. I don't know. But
right.
I really had no, I don't think I'd ever had an eye exam at that point. So he said, okay, well, how about public health? You love research. I was working in a research lab at Auburn, and he said, public health is really based in research. So why don't you, we'll start there. So he was able to get me a scholarship, and I started my master's in public health that next year in Birmingham at UAB.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So you didn't go to optometry school at the same time?
No. So I started
oh.
my master's, and I was doing epidemiology, which
okay.
is the study of diseases, and I really loved it. I actually thought that I might get a PhD in it, but I felt I would miss patient care, so I was thinking of what else I might do. And I kid you not, I was walking down University Boulevard in Birmingham, and the public health school is right across the street from the optometry school. And I looked up and saw UAB School of Optometry. And I stopped and I said, I wonder what they do. I don't really know what optometrists do. So I started researching. I ended up being able to shadow a local doctor, a female doctor, Dr. Lynn Hammonds. She's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
She's so phenomenal. And I loved it. I said, this is an incredible career because you have instant gratification. Yep. You help people see better like every single day.
What could be better than that?
I don't know. And there's not a lot of emergencies. You're not working at a hospital. So I signed up to take the OAT within a few months, and I started optometry school that fall.
Wow. That is awesome. And I know that you've done in your career, you've also done clinical studies. So yes. It served you well.
Yes.
It came in handy later on.
Yeah, the epidemiology really helped the master's. I finished my master's while I was in optometry school.
Okay.
And the epidemiology really helped me get into clinical research. So I've done clinical research for well over a decade in my practices, contact lens, solutions, visual performance, dry eye, all kinds of
glasses.
Glasses research too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay.
Control. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yes.
All right. So let's fast forward. You went to optometry school. You graduated with your master's in public health. Mm-hmm. You also graduated as an optometrist.
Yes.
And now you went into practice.
Correct. I knew that I wanted to own my own practice because I'm not a good employee.
No.
I know. So I was able to buy into a practice within a few months of graduating. I graduated
nice.
In June, and I bought into a practice that November. And it was, I think the practice was like a year old. So I was able to start building it with my partners. And then my husband had a practice. And so we ended up having multiple locations along with an ophthalmology office that we did sell in 2016. So
how many employees did you have at the height of your number?
Like over
50?
70.
Yes. Okay. So anybody listening, that sounds just absolutely horrible.
And that is like, I think a lot of the challenges in our practices in general are usually around not just the employees themselves, which can be a challenge, but also the regulatory piece
right.
of, you know, being an owner and having employees, because it does change.
Right.
Like everything else. And, you know, our field changes quite often.
I think that's one of the scariest things, even still for me, is just not just owning a practice, but keeping up with all the legal aspects. We all have malpractice insurance, and
right.
we think that that's all we need and the rest is easy.
Right. Actually, you need a lot more than that. We're going to talk about that too. Insurance.
Okay. Yes, we will.
We are excited to have Cooper Vision as a sponsor of our podcast. Cooper Vision is one of the world's leading contact lens manufacturers, and they serve eye care professionals and patients in over 130 countries. Their innovative products help millions of patients see every single day. One of the technologies and innovations that we love the most about Cooper Vision is their groundbreaking technology in soft contact lenses that helps to slow the progression of myopia in children 8 to 12 years old at the initiation of treatment.
So, Katie, you started law school. When you completed law school, you no longer had practices, right? So what was the intent?
Yes. So I didn't know what I was going to do, actually. So when I was in law school, I finished with dual certificates in health law and compliance because I knew I wanted to do something within health law. I didn't want to do, actually, there was a moment that I wanted to do criminal law because I love
really?
Law and order. Yes. That would have been, but I'm too old.
Too much
old.
TV.
Yeah, too much. Too old. So I know healthcare, and that's where I feel like, you know, my passion lies. So I knew I was going to do something around health law, but I didn't know
right.
what. And so I did start my own practice. Actually, I started my own practice, but I also consult, with, you know, different, healthcare, businesses and providers. I do a lot of collaborative work with other healthcare attorneys and FDA law, malpractice, all kinds of different things that I love. But I ended up back in practice ownership a few years ago. You know, I think optometry is like the mafia to me, like once you get in, you don't get out. And I just, you know, felt like that's something that I wanted to pursue again. So now I have three practices again. and I really like managing and owning practices. But I do law too.
So what type of law then do you, I mean, how do I ask her this, you guys, without having it sound weird? You're on the side of the providers, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, that's where my heart is because I've been a provider for almost 20 years, which is crazy to me because I don't feel that old, but almost 20 years I've been out of school, as a healthcare provider. And so I'm very passionate because I feel like there's a lot of owners and, you know, even associate doctors that you just don't know what you don't know.
Right.
And now that I have this knowledge and, you know, I like to help. That's what I want to do. My ultimate goal is to help.
So then let's get back to law. Mm-hmm. And I also want to talk about the podcast. Mm-hmm. So let's first, I guess, answer the question of why a podcast? How is that now? I mean, we went from optometry school, well, public health, optometry school, practice ownership, building this, I will call it an empire because it was amazing what you did, selling it, going to law school. Now you have a law practice and three practices, a podcast?
I know. Sounds crazy. And everybody's got a podcast. I will tell you, when you first mentioned a podcast, I was like, absolutely not. I don't need anything else on my plate. But interestingly enough, I became a professor.
Ah, that's right.
Yes, I am teaching clinical legal aspects of optometry for UAB. It's a class you take. I took it when I was in school. You take it your second year, second semester. And it has been awesome. I didn't know how it was going to go because I thought that's a lot of work. But I really like teaching and I really like the class. So in doing all of this, I thought, you know, all of this stuff that I'm researching, that I'm teaching, I love that I'm teaching the students. But I think a lot of this relates to just providers in general, not even optometrists, just any medical provider.
Right.
Because we live in a legal world. Yes, it's healthcare, but there's so much legal things that we have to abide by, not just, you know, laws and statutes and rules.
Right.
And then insurers, they have their own set of rules. So there's so many things that we have to understand and abide by that can, you know, get us in trouble if we don't.
Right. And even though we all took that class, the problem is, and you're probably seeing it now that you're teaching it, I don't know that I remember much of anything from it. No offense.
No,
I'm sure your students will remember a lot.
Probably not.
But I think it's so important for you to do this because I do lose sleep at night. I love that you said that because that has happened to me. It probably happens to me at least once a week, wondering, did I do that right? Like a simple question of, do you have to provide a prescription for a patient who didn't pay for their exam?
Right.
I mean, there's all these questions and you're going to answer those on this podcast.
Yes.
So without jumping into exactly the things that you're going to talk about, can you just tell everybody that's listening, what are the reasons why health law, why is it so important? And what are the main things we need to be thinking about? And then we'll dive into some other stuff in the next episode.
Well, I don't think my students are going to remember a whole lot from this class because, you know, they're taking like ocular disease and all these other things that, I mean, honestly, as a student,
you know,
you're really focused on. You want to pass boards. You've got a lot of information thrown at you. And then two, even if you do remember it now, it's going to change. It changes all the time. So you've got to constantly, that's where the fear comes in because you don't know when things change and what you or you know, what rule you're under now. And
so, well, look at labor laws.
Exactly.
Holy cow. Labor laws have changed so much in just the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm. And it changes by state too. So if you go practice in another state, what are the rules there that you need to abide by? So there's a lot that you have to keep up with. And my intent with the podcast is to talk about really three main areas of liability: patient care. So that would be malpractice, standard of care, things like that. Liability comes from just patient care in general. And then from an insurance standpoint, you know, those contracts that you sign, you know, what are you beholden to when you sign that contract? How does that change? Does it change? And then, you know, obviously from a federal and state statute rules, they change quite often too. The FTC is working on a change right now. So my intent with the podcast is to talk about all of those little areas, you know, standard of care. When does it change? HIPAA, what do you need to do? The question you just asked about, when, when do you have to give a prescription, or do you have to give a prescription? Those types of things.
I love it. I'm so excited. I know you guys are. This has been so good. We got to learn about you, Katie, and how I think what everybody's learning is how this is so important to you, because it's a way for you to bring value to all of us and help us to learn and know the answers to the questions. But here's what I would challenge all of you to do. Send questions into Katie. Yes. Let her hear what you want her to talk about.
Mm-hmm. I would love that. Please send questions, because I will answer them. I think that's very, very helpful.
And then we obviously want you to subscribe to both of our channels. So please like and subscribe to the Dr. April Jasper Show. And then once Katie has her podcast up and running, I know you'll want to do the same. We obviously don't talk about the same things on our show. No. She's going to be all legal and all health legal, mm-hmm. health law.
Yes.
And I love that, because any of the questions you guys send in, she's going to answer.
Yes.
Thank you, Katie, for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Your eyes and your vision are under attack. Damaging blue light from the sun, your phone, your computer, your tablet, even light bulbs and car headlights is constantly bombarding you. The good news is our eyes actually already have a line of defense to counter the effects of blue light. This defense is made up of three pigments called carotenoids. MacuHealth with Micromycel, the only supplement with the exclusive patent on all three macular carotenoids and Micromycel technology.